I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL. My name is Jordan Gifkins, and alongside me is the notorious Jake White. How are you, mate?
I am great. How are you, my friend?
Absolutely fantastic. Buzzing, you could say, like a bee in a beehive. it's good to be back doing the Premier League. We had our first A-League episode on Tuesday, Jake, obviously. We've now got the Facebook page going. I don't know if those listening to this right now are from the Facebook page or what, if you've just come across our podcast just randomly, but we do have the Facebook page at JJ's Football Fix. We upload A-League on a Tuesday, Premier League on a Friday, and all that good stuff. We are now on Audioboom. So none of that SoundCloud stuff anymore. We've now moved on to Audioboom. Jake, I'm sure you're absolutely buzzing, even if it is just pretty much the same thing, just on a different website.
On to bigger and better things.
Yep, we've definitely moved up in the world, you could say. We've joined other illustrious podcasts on the site, and for that we are forever grateful for our new overlords. But without further ado, Jake, we have to do our usual thing. We aren't changing because we are making more money now. We are still the same.
We're not making money.
We're not making money. Who knows what the future holds, but for now, we are certainly not making money. we have to do our standard review. And we kick things off on Saturday night, the early fixture, Jake, with Arsenal 4... I don't even know when this fixture was. Saturday early fixture was Arsenal 4, yeah. Sunderland 1. I, for one, would hate to be a Sunderland supporter this season because they are doing absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, it's coming as well. I knew you were going to do it.
Alexis Sanchez actually opened the scoring in the 19th minute, followed by a Jermaine Defoe penalty in the 65th minute. Actually thought Sunderland might get a point out of this before Giroud came on, scored 2 in 5 minutes, and then Sanchez scored another 2 minutes later. And it was 4-1 before we knew it. pretty much sums up Sunderland's season so far. They had 2 shots on goal. One of them went in, which was fantastic. Peter Cech, what are you doing, mate? Arsenal, 18 shots on goal. 4 of them went in. 65% ball possession and 8 corners. Jake, very big win for Arsenal.
Yeah, it was accepted. Expected, really. Like, in Sunderland, realistically. Well, Marshall, the... Notorious Marshall Moody has said himself that Sunderland won't win a game this season. And, well, we're a quarter of the way through, I think, the season.
Roughly.
Yeah, and that is still sticking by it. Sunderland on 2 draws so far this year. But at the start of the year, I said Arsenal, we're going to push for top 4. I didn't really think much of them, but then they made a few signings. They're short up at the back with Mustafi, and they are looking fantastic with Ozil, Sanchez, Giroud, Walcott all clicking up front. So looking very nice, and yeah, it was a deserved 4-1 win, obviously, but big test for them this weekend.
And we will get to that test in the preview coming up towards the end of the podcast, Jake. We move on to a bigger team in Manchester City. Controversial.
Don't think Arsenal
fans want Sergei Aguero opened the scoring in the 19th minute before pulling out another one in the 28th minute. Ilkay Gundogan scored in the 79th minute and the 90th minute, so he also scored a brace. And Man City won 4-0 against a very resilient West Brom side that took no for an answer. I don't know what that means in terms of football, but we'll go with it. West Brom had 8 shots on goal, 7 off target. So you could say that Claudio Bravo in the Man City goal probably didn't have to do too much. Man City, 15 shots on goal, 8 of which were on target. So that's always good to see from the Man Cityans. They had 69% ball possession, a lot of corners.
Man Cityans.
And Manchester City sit top of the league, Jake.
Yeah, they do. Well, I said last week in the scout report, which has started off fantastically for me, that Aguero is a cold player, realistically, at that stage he was, but now he's come out and decided to get an assist and two goals in the next game, which he made me look like a bit of a knob, but realistically, he's the best player. Well, I think he is the best player in the Premier League, and he's proved that again. But yes, I've said a lot in JJ's Football Fix in the first 10 episodes that City are the real deal, and they decided to step up for a change over the last month and prove that. Gundogan's got off to a average start for City, and now in the last few games, he's scored in the Champions League midweek, he's just scored a double against West Brom, so he's looking like a pretty handy signing in the end as well from Dortmund.
Yeah, always rated Big Gundogan. He's always been a quality player at the Borussia of Dortmund. We don't talk about the Bundesliga at JJ's Football Fix, though, do we, Jake?
No, we don't. We talk everything EPL and A-League.
For an hour, Jake, for an hour. moving right along, Jake, we have Watford versus Hull City. Hull City proving their worth here with a 1-0 loss. Michael Dawson actually scored a goal for Watford, so that goes down as an own goal.
Good finish.
Stats actually pointed towards a quite, not going to say even game, I was going to say even game, then I looked at the stats and it wasn't that even, was it? 10 shots to 7, so that's even, but Watford had 60% of the ball and plenty of corners. Watford are 7th in the league, they're above Man United. That's crazy. I didn't even see that. Watford, the team to watch, Jake, the new Leicester City.
Yeah, a bit far, so calling them the next Leicester City, but I don't really know what to say on Watford. On my app, it says they had 23 shots a goal and 0 on target, so they may need to address that. But realistically, they've won at the end of the day, so they won't be complaining. Watford at this stage, they're not impressing me as such, but they just seem like one of those teams right now that are just grinding out results. They're not setting the league on fire. But they're just sitting there grinding out 1-0, 2-0, 2-1s. And now they're getting their rewards. They're sitting in 7th place, which I would have never predicted after 10 games. But it is early days. You never know. But I've said from the get-go that Hull are nothing special, so I wouldn't be looking into that win too much.
Oh, yeah, look, we have said from the start Hull are pretty average.
We've literally said from the first about 5 minutes of JJ's Football Fix that Hull City is shit out, so...
So moving along to the next game, Jake, we have Tottenham Hotspur. Had a 1-1 result against Leicester City. Vincent Janssen actually scored a goal. I'm pretty sure that's his first goal in the league. 44 minutes into the game from the penalty spot before Ahmed Musa scored in the 48th minute, a tap-in, and I think he pretty much died after getting killed by the keeper after scoring.
Pretty much died,
only to be subbed off 20 minutes later, so I don't think he did die.
Slow death.
Tottenham had 17 shots on goal to Leicester's 7, and Tottenham certainly had more of the ball, more corners. Most statistical categories, they were the better team, but they couldn't get a result. And I know Tottenham are doing well. They haven't lost a game, but they seem to be a team that can't take their chances when they need to.
Well, yeah, you basically summed it up, really. I think Tottenham are a good team this year. They've proved that, not even this year as well. They proved they were a good team last year, finishing 3rd in the two-horse race. But I rate Tottenham, and from the games that I've watched them play, and I did watch this game, they've played fantastic, and they're doing well right now without players like Harry Kane up front, but they just can't finish teams off. Like, I think that's their 3rd draw in a row, or 3rd draw in 4 games, or something like that, and obviously for Tottenham, that's not good enough. But I don't know, they're unbeaten, and it just seems like, it's just weird that they're unbeaten, they're the only team that's unbeaten in the Premier League, but they're sitting in 5th.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to think about that.
Yeah.
But, like, just going through their recent games as well, they have drawn the last 3 in a row, and some of the games, realistically, they should be winning. Like, they should realistically be beating Bournemouth and West Brom away from home. So, and now they've got Arsenal this weekend, which is going to be a big test. So they're finding themselves in a sticky situation where they can't really get themselves out of it. And I feel like it would be healthy for them to get a loss. As weird as it sounds, and no one really wants to lose Derby, I feel like it would be healthy for them to get a loss, because then it'll really strike them into form. I think just sitting there scraping through wins or drawing every game isn't going to help them the slightest. So I feel like it could be healthy for them to lose this week.
Yeah, I think they haven't got much of a ruthless sort of mentality. And if they lose a game, I feel like they'll want to come out and prove a point and just bang six past whoever they verse after that. So realistically, yeah, I think you're right. Probably a loss this week would do them a world of good. And we'll get to that in the preview, Jake, for the second time. but we move on to the next game here. Middlesbrough 2, AFC Bournemouth 0. Gaston Ramirez scoring one of the goals of the season in the 39th minute before Stuart Downing capped off a nice team move where Negredo, very clever header down to him in the 56th minute to make it 2-0 and a 2-0 victory. Jake, I watched this game, surprisingly. I had a look at the options, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to watch Middlesbrough versus Bournemouth, and it actually was a very free-flowing game, quite an attacking game, and it was certainly worth the viewing pleasure by my eyes, Jake.
Well, I wasn't actually all that surprised. Like, Bournemouth, I rate Bournemouth this year, but I said from broadcast one that Middlesbrough have a very underrated squad, and they deserve the win, realistically. And you were playing pro clubs with me during this game, and you were very excited over Gaston Ramirez's goal, and I didn't really believe you all that much, and I watched a replay of it, and it was a very fucking good goal. so fair play to him. He's always been a good player, but he's one of those players that, I don't know how to explain it right, he has the talent, but he's too lazy. Like, yeah. When he was at Southampton, he was one of their better players, and then he'd score a worldie like 2 weeks in a row and get best on, and then he wouldn't turn up for like the next 10 weeks. So it's a shame for him, but now he's getting a starting spot in the Premier League team anyway, so he can't really complain with that, and he's playing pretty well, and Borough did deserve the win in my eyes.
He sort of reminds me a bit of Moussa Sissoko in a way. Mm. Irregardless of their skin colour, they are both quite similar footballers.
Yep.
Moving along to the next game. Manchester United 0, Tom Heaton 0. What a game.
Oh, fucking hell.
This was something else. I'm sure your stats will make it even worse for Manchester United, because mine only says they had 26 shots on goal, and I'm pretty sure yours will say 30 plus.
Yep.
Yeah, 40 plus?
mine say 72% possession, 38 shots to 7, 11 shots on target to 1, 19 block shots to 1, 646 passes to 214, 38 crosses to 11. 19 corners to 1.
Realistically, this is the definition of rape. And then Tom Heaton came out like an absolute fucking policeman, he did. And he stopped it. Yeah, he's a policeman and it stopped rape.
Yeah.
He carried the team on his shoulders and he was brilliant.
Absolutely. He made 11 saves as well. All good and well for everyone to look at United right now. And I know they lost this morning too, but it's all good and well for people to look at them and say they're shit. But this honestly is the best team. This is honestly the best I've seen United play in a long time. Like, there's not much they can realistically do other than Zlatan's missing like the 89th minute, which he should be easily putting away. It's one of the best goalkeeping performances I've seen since Tim Howard in the World Cup. It's like, honestly, and there's nothing you can really hold against United for this, because they played well. If they play like that every week, they'll win more games than they lose easily. But there's not much you can do. It was honestly just an outrageous goalkeeping performance. And Burnley somehow held on for a draw, because looking at the stats, if you don't show anyone the scores and you show them the stats, you'd think United won like 6 or 7 nil. So I'm not going to sit here and judge United and say they're shit, because they're not. And they'll probably come out in a few weeks and absolutely fucking demolish Everton, because we'll be that team. They'll struggle, and then Everton, they'll come up against Everton and probably taunt them. But United played well. And I was talking to my brother the day after the game. He's a United supporter. And I was saying, if they play like that, like I said before, if they play like that every week, they'll finish in the top four. They played fantastic. But it was just Tom Heaton, who I think is now England's number one, was outrageous. And we saw that the week before, Jordan, when Heaton played fantastic against Everton as well.
Yeah, and I don't remember if we said it on the show last week, that he was probably the most informed goalkeeper in the league right now, one of the best.
Yeah, no, easy.
And if we didn't say it, we easily definitely said it to each other, because I remember saying it.
He's easily England's number one right now, so I'd be very surprised if he doesn't start against Scotland next week.
Yeah, well, I don't even know who the other England keepers are at the moment, because I haven't seen Joe Hart play in fucking ages.
Probably Fraser Forster.
Yeah. The man mountain. Moving right along here, Crystal Palace at home against Liverpool. This was some game, this one. Emre Can opened the scoring in the 16th minute before James McArthur brought it back to level in the 18th minute. Dejan Lovren scored in the 21st minute. Then James McArthur scored in the 33rd minute to make it 2-2. Joel Matip in the 44th minute makes it 3-2. And then Firmino in the second half, something's the lead. and makes it 4-2 to Liverpool. Confirms the win, maybe. I don't really know. Puts the ice
completing,
on the cake.
No,
completes,
yeah, shut up.
Completes the quartet of goals. 4-2, Jake. I don't know if what we said about this on the last podcast, but Liverpool probably deserved it in regards to their shots on goal, but possession was very even, their corners were very even. Most statistical factors are quite even. I think it was just more down to Liverpool finishing better than Crystal Palace.
Well, I don't really know what it is about this game, but this game always seems to provide us with a bit of entertainment, because of what happened a few years ago when Palace came back 3-0 down to basically ruin Liverpool's title chances, and the year after, Yedinak scored a free kick to win the game for Palace. So it's always been one of those fixtures, Palace versus Liverpool at Selhurst Park, that's always been pretty good. And Liverpool needed to try and, I guess, break that hoodoo. I think Liverpool won there last year. And they did. Like I've said a lot this year already, Liverpool are looking really good. And Palace did take it up to them. Palace did look good as well, but you got to take your chances at the end of the day. And not that Palace didn't. They ended up scoring two goals, but Liverpool just looks so ruthless in attack right now. And they've got their reward.
Yeah, and yeah, as you keep saying, Liverpool look like they're going to play Champions League football this season. Or next season, sorry. Unfortunately, but that's football. That's football.
All swings and roundabouts.
It's all coming up Millhouse for Liverpool supporters. Right here, we have Everton 2, West Ham 0. I fell asleep at half time, so I missed an absolute crack in second half, apparently. Lukaku opened the scoring, nodded in a header from about 2 yards out after Jan Bolasie came from absolutely nowhere to get the ball to him. Before Ross Barkley put the icing on the cake in the 76th minute with a nice finish after a great ball from the Rom. 2-0 win. Everton probably deserved the victory. I can't comment on the second half. You probably watched it. But I'll let you talk about this one.
I was obviously impressed with this win. 2-0 over a team that I'm not exactly too fond of. Don't really like West Ham all that much. So I'm not going to complain with that, obviously. And Lukaku scoring for, I think it's his 9th game in a row against West Ham. And Barkley scoring, which sort of surprised me, because Barkley is one of those players, like I said about Gaston Ramirez, that sort of plays well for a few weeks and then doesn't do anything for about 10 weeks. And he's really got to stop that, or else I'm sure in January we will go searching for a new number 10. Even though I rate Barkley and I think he's going to be an Everton player and an Everton legend, I think he's got to have a bit of a reality check and he's not really getting that all that much right now, but he did play well against West Ham. Hopefully he can keep that up. We played well, and so did West Ham, but it was one of those that we took our chances and they didn't. And we got the Chockies, which I was obviously happy with, and it was desperately needed too, because I think that's our first win in like 5 or 6 games in all competition. So, especially coming up against a team like Chelsea this week, we definitely needed a win going into it.
And like I said about Ross Barkley, it's, I think he just needs that competition for his spot in the team, and there literally is no one else apart from him that can play that role. It's like, a couple of years away for that one. On to the next game here, second last game of the week, is Southampton 0, Chelsea 2. Hazard scoring in the 6th minute. He's having a wondrous season. Costa scoring in the 55th minute. It was all Chelsea this game. Southampton didn't provide too much. Did have more of the ball, but it looked like Chelsea played a bit more on the counter and was just ruthless in front of goal. And took their chances when they needed to. Southampton, after a good run of form, they get halted by a Chelsea team that is performing very well this season.
Yeah, well, they're back, it looks like, which is frustrating to say as we play them this week, but yeah, they're looking good. They've got Hazard firing, Costa firing, the defence is keeping clean sheets. They're looking good. Costa's looking like the Costa of his first season in England. Hazard looks like he's back after going on a bit of a holiday last year.
Where do you go, Jake?
Fuck knows. I had him in my fantasy Premier League team for the majority of the year, and he did sweet fuck all for me. He's doing well this year, obviously. And Costa's doing well. They're playing very nice football. And, yeah, they got the reward. They deserved the 2-0 win from what I watched. I watched the first about 50 minutes. So I fell asleep about 5 to 10 minutes into the second half. But yeah, they deserved it. Fair play to them.
That's scary because we have to verse them quite soon.
Soon as in tomorrow.
Yes. On to the last game of the week, and it is Stoke City 3, Swansea City 1. Swansea actually surprised early on, although Stoke took the lead in the 3rd minute. Swansea came straight back into it in the 8th minute and did equalise. It took it to the 55th minute before an Alfie Mawson own goal for Stoke City gave them the 2-1 advantage, and Wilfred Bony capped off a fine evening for him against his former side by scoring in the 73rd minute. Jake, Stoke City are on the way up, aren't they?
Yeah, well, it was bound to happen with the players they've got, and I was getting well and truly stuck into players like Bony, Boyan, Shaqiri, Nanatovic for a fair while, and now they're starting to win a few games in a row, which was well overdue because the squad they've got, realistically, they shouldn't be anywhere near the relegation zone. Bony scored twice, and I didn't really watch the game. I'm going to sit here and say I woke up at all hours in the morning to watch Stoke versus Swansea, but from what I know, Stoke deserve the win, and they're starting to string some results together, which is much needed.
And we will find out where they are quite shortly as we head into the player statistics. The top scorers in the league, Diego Costa, leads all comers with 8 goals for the season. Lukaku and Aguero make up the top 3 on 7 each, albeit Aguero has scored 3 from the penalty spot and Lukaku has not scored 1 from the penalty spot. So a decent season for all 3 of those players. Alexis Sanchez is in 4th position and there's a few players out on 5. In the assist chart, the Dishmaster, Kevin De Bruyne is on 5 assists with Dimitri Payet, Nemanja Matic, Philip Coutinho and Yannick Bolasie all on 4 assists. Great season for all those players, and Matic, the defensive midfielder, getting involved, fantastic to see, and it's probably a lot behind Chelsea's success so far this season. Moving on to the table, Jake, Manchester City, Arsenal and Liverpool are all on 23 points as it stands, or joint top of the league. Man City just above all of them due to goal difference. Chelsea in fourth position on 22 points. Tottenham, the only undefeated side in the league on 20 points, 5 wins and 5 draws from the 10 games. Everton in 6th position. Watford and Manchester United make up 7th and 8th. Southampton in 9th. Bournemouth in 10th. Leicester City and Stoke go down to 12th. Crystal Palace and Burnley on 11 votes each. Votes, points. We'll be doing the Brownlow medal. Middlesbrough, West Brom and West Ham all on 10 points each. Hull City on 7, Swansea on 5, and bottom of the table, Sunderland sit very cute on two points, 2 votes. I keep saying votes. I'm thinking of votes and points. I don't understand what's going on in my head right now. Jake, any surprises with those standings?
Probably Watford's the biggest standout, and West Ham. Other than that, I'm not too surprised now.
Yeah, can't disagree with any of that, Jake. Well played. We're just going to have a bit of Europa League with a side taste of Champions League just to go through. We will go through the Champions League first because it came up on my app first. Man City hosted Barcelona on Wednesday and got a massive 3-1 result. Messi scoring early before Gundogan, De Bruyne, and Gundogan again. Jeez, he's in some form. Beat them 3-1, so good result for them.
Gundogan.
Arsenal came back from 2-0 down, I think, maybe. Yes, 2-0 down against Ludogorets Razgrad. Ozil scoring in the 88th minute, some goal that was. That's well worth the money.
Honestly, the greatest goal ever. That was fantastic.
Moving on to the Thursday fixtures, Tottenham losing at home to Bayer Leverkusen. So to see for all the Tottenham fans. While Leicester City actually travelled to Copenhagen. I'm not even sure what country that is. I believe it's like Denmark or something. And got a 0-0 result, and they say top of their league. So good work from Leicester to remain undefeated in the Champions League. They're certainly doing well. Onto Europa League, though. We can't miss out on Europa League. That's the main one. somewhat the main one. Well, I can't even find the fixtures here. Friday, the 4th of November, Jake.
This morning.
I think I did this last time. the games involving Manchester United and Southampton. Manchester United travelling to Turkey to verse Fenerbahce and getting the 2-1 loss. Wayne Rooney scoring a pearl in the 89th minute, not enough for Manchester United, while Southampton hosted a very good Inter Milan team and won. Icardi scored for Inter early on. Dusan Tadic actually missed a penalty on the stroke of half-time, but it wasn't to matter as Virgil van Dijk and Yuti Nagatomo own goal gave Southampton the 2-1 win in the Europa League. Jake, Southampton, nothing to say about them because we move right on to JJ's football jokes. Everyone's favourite jokes.
I can't say I've prepared any jokes. That's probably a good thing as well.
Should we pull out a Southampton joke after saying nothing about them?
Southampton joke. You want me to pull out a Southampton joke?
I got one. What happens when you take 3 points away from Southampton?
What happens, Sean?
You have a sensational day. Sensational? That's a shocking joke, Jake. That's a shocking one. Why did you say that one? Good one here. What's the difference between Sunderland and the Bermuda Triangle?
I know this one, but yep, tell us.
The Bermuda Triangle has 3 points.
Oh, God. I can't say I've got any, to be honest. What lights up a football match?
Oh, that was funny. That was a funny one. A soccer pitch. Soccer. GG.
How do football players stay cool during the game?
I don't know, Jake.
They stared near the fans.
Why do midgets always laugh when playing soccer?
Why?
The grass tickles their balls.
Alright, we'll end on those two. We need to save some for next week.
I want to get one more, though.
Alright, have another crack. If it's not good, then you're going to have another crack. Go on.
This is the worst ones. They've just gone downhill every single week.
Go.
What lights up a soccer match? Oh my god, I have no idea.
I just saw this one. Wayne Rooney says, I've just had a good idea of strengthening out the team. Jose Mourinho, good, when are you leaving?
Yeah.
Alright, yeah, let's move on.
I just saw that one as well. Football right. Players are the only people who can dribble and still look neat. And basketballers.
Yeah.
So they're not the only people. Oh, what an absolute shambles of a segment. Absolute shambles. That one needs a buff.
It was better than last week, I'll tell you that much.
Last week was atrocious. That was fun. Moving along, Jake. We're the Fantasy Scout Report. Cast your mind over, because I have nothing to do with it. Jake, take it away.
For my hot player, I'm not going to go through. Oh, should I go through last week?
Yeah, may as well go through last week.
Last week's my hot player was Lukaku, and he got a goal and assist, so claim it. He's
still
all because
hot.
He's steam.
Burning.
The cold player was Sergio Aguero. He got two goals and an assist, so he's not too cold at the moment.
He's quite warm at the moment, isn't he?
And my bargain was Charlie Austin, and I'm pretty sure he did fuck all.
Yeah, but it was always going to be a struggle with him versus Chelsea at home. But I think you even said that it'd be a struggle for him in Southampton. But, you know, you still went. He's a bargain. He is in good form, so you can't disagree with what you've said there, Jake. Take us away with this week's players, please.
My hot player for this week, the hot player, John, he's Stevie. Is Alexis Sanchez at 11.4.
Yeah, shit, he's on fire.
He's only scored under three once in his last eight games, and he's in the top four for goals and assists, and is the highest scoring fantasy player this season. So far, he's the second most expensive player in fantasy, but I think that is well-deserved, as Australia just got a wicket. I'll add that in there in case you are wondering. It is 1 for 35. Cold player at the moment is Dimitri Payet at 9.4. Dimitri has only scored over 3 points three times this season. In the next 6 weeks, West Ham play Spurs away, United away, Liverpool away, and Arsenal at home. So that may not change too quickly, as they have a very difficult run coming up after Stoke this week. Nothing against Stoke, they could win, but yeah. Let's be honest, no Spurs, United, Liverpool, Arsenal. And my bargain this week, I think you'll like this one, as I've not mentioned a defensive sort of player in my Fantasy Scout report yet, is Thomas Heaton. At 4.7, only with three clean sheets this year, but he is still the highest scoring goalkeeper in Fantasy Premier League by a whopping 11 points.
Gee, that's 11 points more than the second place.
It is. You are spot on, Jordan. So that is my Fantasy Scout report for this week. I think Tom Heaton is a goalkeeper you should jump on, as I have done so, getting Petacek out of my team, because Petacek has given away about three penalties this year.
Nice, Jake. I rate that. I rate it highly. I haven't played fantasy for about 6 weeks.
It's good to see you've been taking in my advice.
Oh, I think I had a lot of transfers I can use, so I might still do it. bloody oath. Actually, I might actually get on fantasy after this podcast is over, Jake. Well then, I think we've got the preview now, Jake. I think we have the preview. Do we have the preview?
We have the preview.
We are previewing this week's fixtures. Oh my God. Jake, can you predict the first game, please?
Predict the first game. Just straight out. Predict it.
Don't even look. I want you to predict.
See, I don't know what your first game is because...
You don't have to try to remember. You just have to predict.
But what is the first game on your app? Because we've got different apps.
Yeah, but you're not meant to look at your app and tell me. You're supposed to predict it.
Predict the first game. I'm like, well, my app's frozen, so I'm going to have to. I'm going to predict... Well, it's not Everton versus Chelsea because that's the 4:30 game. Uh-huh. I'm going to say that there is City versus Middlesbrough somewhere in there at 2 o'clock because that is a Saturday game. And I'm going to say City will win that 4-1. Just bang, off the bat.
It's not the first game.
Is it at 2 o'clock on Saturday?
It is. But it's not the first game. First game is the Bournemouth versus Sunderland. Sunderland. 6-1 for Bournemouth. I think you are quite close because this one is my Bet365 bet of the week, boys. If you are looking for a bet, get on Bet365. You can deposit some money and you get that back in bonus bets, probably. I don't know. Actually having a sneaky geezer this game, fellas. There is little to no history between these two sides. So I can't go off anything historical, but I can tell you that in one of the two fixtures, both teams have scored. In one of them, only one of them. That was the last time they met back in January of this year. Sunderland 1, AFC Bournemouth 1. I'm actually thinking Bournemouth at home are a very good proposition. And I'm going to give you two bets here. Two Bet365 bets of the week, because you can get on either of these. And I think they're both going to come off, but I'm going to tell you both anyway as a little prize for being great.
What?
The win and over 2.5 goals for Bournemouth is paying $2.50, Jake. That is, although not the most steepest of odds, I think getting 2.5 times what you put money, of the money you put on the bet is decent and can be included in a multi, remember. So if you want to get that 2.5 multiplier on any multi that you do put together, I think that's a decent little cheeky bet you could put on. Or if you're feeling a bit kinky, you can get on the result and both to score if you really think Sunderland are going to get the goal, but Bournemouth are going to win. That is paying $3.30, Jake. I think they are both winners in my opinion. But the table at the moment, Bournemouth on 10 points, Sunderland on 2 points, Bournemouth are actually on 12 points. I read that completely wrong. But Bournemouth in 10th, Sunderland in 20th. This is going to be a Bournemouth win, Jake.
Yeah, look, I can't disagree. I think they will win. Well, I said 6-1 before, but realistically, I think they'll win 2-1 or 3-1.
Yeah, I'm going to opt for a 3-1 result to Bournemouth. I think they are just a fantastic team this year. And a lot of people will agree with me. Burnley versus Crystal Palace. A 0-0 a game at the moment because the game is yet to start. At Turf Moor, Burnley coming off a brave result against Manchester United where they held on for dear life. Tom Heaton, man of the match by a country mile. Not much history between these two sides, having been in and out of the Championship and the Premier League. But the last time these two teams played was back in 2015 where Burnley got the 2-3 loss against Crystal Palace. Can't tell you who scored that game as I can. Danny Ings actually got on the score sheet. So the big Danny Ings back in the Burnley days. I think this is going to be a draw, Jake. I'd love to hear your opinion, though.
Would you? What if I don't give you one?
Well, then we can move on to Manchester City versus Middlesbrough.
No, I think that'll be a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I'm feeling a draw here. And I really like Tom Heaton. I'm pretty sure you've said it a billion times as well as I have. Tom Heaton is a class act.
I'm
working. Manchester City versus Middlesbrough is also going to be a class game.
Is it?
It's really not.
See, I think it won't be as bad as people think, but I think City are going to win. But I don't think they're going to I don't know. I really don't, because Middlesbrough are good, but I feel like City are very close to bending a team over and absolutely demolishing them. very soon. And I feel like, unfortunately for Middlesbrough, that will be this week.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it's going to be something like a 4-0 win for Man City. I think Aguero, Gundogan is in form as well. So I've got to remember
coming off a win against Barcelona, I think they'll be pretty pleased with how things are going. So,
But yeah, you've got to remember the European fixtures midweek might just hinder their chances a little bit.
Well, especially you're not wrong. I said exactly the same a few weeks ago, and
it happened.
What happened? Totally right.
Especially against Barcelona, like, you know, of all teams to play midweek, has to be Barcelona. But they did get the win, of course, as we stated in our Champions League recap.
We did.
But we'll be tougher for them this week. They've gone from Barca to Middlesbrough. on to the next game. West Ham versus Stoke City at the Olympic Stadium. Andre Mariner will take charge of this game. West Ham coming off a 2-0 loss, Stoke City a 3-1 win. West Ham and Stoke having really odd seasons so far, but both hit a little bit of form of late after West Ham's loss to Everton last week. They did drop slightly in a position on the table, but that's okay because they'll probably bounce back with a win this week. Jake, thoughts?
I don't know on this game, actually, because like you said, both teams are having really weird starts to the season. After watching West Ham play last week, they're not as bad as what people are making them out to be. And once they get players like Ayew back starting and Feghouli, they will definitely start testing a few teams. But I don't know. I think this is going to be a draw because Stoke are starting to hit their straps and West Ham are slowly starting to play better football. So yeah, I think this is going to be a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, don't blame you. Don't blame you at all, Jake. Stop thinking of blaming you. Come on. Moving along to the last game on Saturday, and that is the Chelsea versus Everton, 4:30 a.m. kickoff for us. I think 7:30 kickoff for you in England. I was about to say America.
America.
Chelsea doing very well this season, on fourth position on the table. Everton in sixth. Chelsea are very defensive this season with 9 conceded in 10 games, as is Everton with 8 in 10 games, but Chelsea scoring quite a few more goals. History does split at this fixture especially. It's Chelsea normally get the victory against Everton. Everton haven't beaten Chelsea at Stamford Bridge since February of 2011, which was in an FA Cup game. And that was probably on penalties. It just says 4-5. It's a normal thing.
Yeah, it was.
Well, there you go. But the last time these two teams played was a 3-3 draw when John Terry somehow was onside. we won't talk about that game because I was fuming.
It was not too dissimilar.
That's football, though, isn't it, Jake? It happened many a time to Everton. I think this is going to be a Chelsea win, unfortunately, Jake.
I agree with you, unfortunately, but I think we're playing well. I think we're in a good situation. But, like you said, Chelsea are playing some fantastic football, and you can't really take that away from them. I think it's going to be a 2-1 Chelsea win, but I would not be surprised if we drew. But along with the fact that we haven't won at Stamford Bridge in all competitions in 7 or 8 years. We haven't won at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League for 21 years. So, yeah, let's enjoy that while it lasts. And
what a stat.
So, I think Chelsea will win, but I would not be surprised if we snuck a draw.
Moving on to the London Derby here. The North London Derby, sorry. Arsenal versus Tottenham Hotspurs at the Emirates Stadium. Mark Clattenburg is taking charge of this game. Arsenal, very low price here, 195 to get the Chockies here, is paying quite well. I could have included that in the Bet365 Bet of the Week, but I didn't. But that's another one, that's a third one, if you want another bet to put in your multi or single bets. Arsenal in second, Tottenham in fifth, both enjoying good season so far. Tottenham, as we said, could be a little bit more ruthless. The last time these two teams played at this stadium was a 1-1 draw back in November. of 2015. This often is a low-scoring affair, apart from the 2012-13 season when Arsenal thumped Tottenham 5-2. That was a very good win for Arsenal, it seems.
That was weird because I remember that game because that was the third time in a row, I think, or the second time in a row at the Emirates that Arsenal had beaten Tottenham 5-2.
You are not wrong.
I remember it because I was in a car with an Arsenal fan during the game and he said they'll probably win 5-2 again. And they did. I wonder how much that was paying on Bet365, Jordan.
About $17, mate.
$17 for 5-2.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're gonna mess with our sponsor?
I don't know on this one because I said earlier that Tottenham probably need to lose a Premier League game to kick on, as they did lose midweek as well against Bayer Leverkusen. But I think this one will be a draw.
Yeah, I think Arsenal's going to win, Jake.
Yeah.
This is my 2 cents.
it's healthy to disagree sometimes.
Yes, it certainly is, Jake.
It is.
On to the next game. Hull City versus Southampton, the 1:15 a.m. kickoff here in Melbourne, Australia. the 2:15 kickoff in England, probably not 2:15, but maybe. This game is quite a hard one to predict because I think Southampton are a much better team, albeit Southampton did have a European fixture on the Friday and Hull City had an extra week to prepare. I think this is going to be a draw, Jake. As bad as Hull City are, I think Hull might actually hang on for a draw.
Well, I think you're wrong. No, oh, actually, I take that back. I apologise. Southampton had midweek European. So I think you're all correct. I think it'll be a draw. Even though Hull are fucking shit, I think this will be a nil-all draw.
Absolute tactics and bangers.
This is weird. Why is there 5 games on Saturday and then 5 games on Sunday? What are you doing? Oh, we got another wicket.
on to the next game, Liverpool versus Watford. This one played at Anfield. Liverpool enjoying their positive season to date, enjoying a fruitful spell. Third in the league, Watford in 7th, overachieving thus far. In the history between these two sides, they have both won one game each from 2 meetings. Watford actually have a goal difference of +1 against Liverpool, so that is good, but I think Liverpool will win this game.
Look, I agree. I think Watford are in some decent form. As we've stated, they're surprising a fair few people sitting in 7th at the moment, but Liverpool are playing some terrific football, and it's really helping Liverpool and Chelsea with the fact that they both don't have any European commitments this year. And I think Liverpool, I don't think it'll be as easy as people may think because Watford are playing well and they will have a lot of confidence, but I think Liverpool will win 3-1 or 2-0.
Moving on to Swansea City versus Manchester United. This game being played at the Liberty Stadium, okay. Neil Swarbrick is in charge of this fixture. Swansea City currently sitting in 19th position, Manchester United in 8th position. History does suggest that Swansea have not lost at home against Manchester United since 2013, winning the other 2 fixtures since. So I don't know if you want to look into that, but maybe Swansea could pull off a bit of a shock.
They could. If United play like they did against Burnley, they'll win. But if they played like they did against Fenerbahce, they'll lose. I think United will win this because, as bad as it is, because I don't mind Swansea, but I think they are not going to be surviving the Premier League this year, losing players like Ayew and Ashley Williams. They're relying way too much on Sigurdsson to have good games. And, I think United will catch him out.
On to the last game here of the game week. In the Premier League, we have Leicester City at home to West Bromwich Albion, fresh off a 4-0 thumping to Manchester City. I can only see one result in this game, albeit Leicester did have the Champions League European commitments. Jake, we got to remember the European commitments because Leicester are not a big squad, are they?
They're not, and they have seemed to struggle after European commitments. I think Chadli being out for West Brom is going to help Leicester out here, though. I think they will do what they haven't been doing this year, and I think Leicester will win after a European game.
Can I just, before you continue with that, I can just want to say that I've just read Kasper Schmeichel is, in fact, not playing.
He's out for a month, apparently.
Doesn't alter your prediction at all?
No, because I'm pretty sure they signed, like, a backup goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah, that German bloke is good.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think they'll be completely fine with that. I think it'll be a typical Leicester performance, so I think they'll only win 1-0.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like West Brom's quite good defensively, but they did cop 4 last week, so I'm probably going to second-guess that. They've only conceded 14 this season, though. For a team coming 16th in the league, it's not a bad effort.
Not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it could be better, obviously. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a Leicester victory. I think, like you said, a 1-0, maybe a 2-0. It just depends on, you know, the players. You know, Vardy, Mahrez, they can find their form and fire Leicester to a victory in the league, one they really need because they are not performing probably as well as they would be hoping this league season.
Probably not, no.
No, I was winning the league last season. I'm sure it's a bit of a downgrade at the moment. But that is that's the game week done. And that is the podcast is pretty much tied up there, Jake.
It is, yes. Yes, it is.
We overcame some
technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. Says smash this one out for a Friday night for all of you guys. Give us a like because we deserve it for enduring this pain. We have, as I stated, moved on to Audio Boom. So if you guys want to follow us on Audio Boom, you can do so. The link will be probably and the main post on the Facebook page. If you're not sure about the Facebook page, then you can probably find us through Audio Boom. There are plenty of ways to find us, a whole two. Again, got to get the plug going. Bet365, thanks for your ongoing support of the podcast.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain,
you'll be on the show one day. Can't wait. Chris Smoove, caught him leaning. Thanks for your contribution in the A-League podcast. I think on Tuesday you were involved in. it's always good to have you on the show, mate, and looking forward to future endeavours alongside yourself. Oz FIFA for being a FIFA site. For those who don't know Oz FIFA, check them out, ozfifa.com. And for audioboom.com for allowing us to be on their site. As I probably stated already, it is a big step in the right direction for this podcast, and we want to get as much exposure as we can. Remember, we post every Friday Premier League content, and every Tuesday we post the A-League Hour, the new podcast to the show. Jake, did you have a good time?
What was that, sorry?
Did you have a good time, mate?
I've had a fantastic time. Thank you, Jordan. Sorry, I was just scrolling through Twitter.
That's totally fine, mate. We've got to be on the ball being a podcast co-host. We need to be the latest and greatest. No, that's all right. No, it's good. I want you to be looking at the latest stuff.
You'll have to dock my pay.
Yeah, right, I'll dock your pay. You only get 30 minutes this time. I don't even know.
We're not getting paid.
Everyone, enjoy your night. We'll see you all on Tuesday night for the A-League Hour. Until then, I hope your team wins in the Premier League, unless you support Chelsea. And we'll see you then.
I take it in, but don't look down. 'Cause I'm on top of the world.